Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 25th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden races to reach a deal on his economic agenda.
Janet Yellen says high inflation will persist into the middle of next year.
A new survey says labor shortages are poised to continue.
And a big week for tech earnings as Facebook, Apple, and Amazon prepare to report.
It got tense as anti-vaxxers support Kyrie Irving outside the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, plus heavy rain is causing flooding in California. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Giants beat the Panthers. The Jets got blown out by the Patriots. Home losses for the Knicks and Nets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 106.1 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Hey, good Monday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are higher to start the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 2, NASDAQ futures up 31, the 10-year Treasury down 6/32, the yield 1.65%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 87 cents at $84.63 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get back to the market in a minute, but first we begin in the nation's capital. President Biden is racing to reach a deal on his economic agenda. Talks with fellow Democrats continue in hopes of reaching an agreement before the president leaves for Europe this week. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The president met yesterday at his home in Delaware with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, but there was no breakthrough. The upcoming Glasgow Global Climate Conference is providing the latest deadline. Democrats hope to include strong climate change provisions to give the U.S. leverage with other countries. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tells CNN State of the Union they're very close.
We've 90% of the bill agreed to and written. We just have some of the last decisions to be made.
Many of the administration's original priorities are still in the package, just for a shorter duration, including Affordable Care Act premium subsidies and expanded Medicaid coverage. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, the other item being watched closely in Washington, inflation. Is it transitory or will it persist? Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is offering up an answer somewhere in between.
On a 12-month basis, the inflation rate will remain high into next year because of what's already happened. But I expect improvement by the middle to end of next year, second half of next year.
Janet Yellen tells CNN she does not believe the U.S. government risks losing control of inflation.
Well, rising prices usually mean rising wages, Karen. But even then, a new survey finds U.S. labor shortages will likely persist into next year. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A survey by the National Association for Business Economics shows 36% of private sector employees currently experiencing worker shortages say they expect them to end at some point next year. 14% see worker shortages continuing into 2023 or later. And when it comes to inflation, 30% think current price increases will be permanent. About 20% say cost increases are temporary. And the majority of those are either goods producers or in the transportation, utilities, and communications industries. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Turning to the pandemic now, it's shaping up to be another big week when it comes to vaccine approval. Kids 5 to 11 years old could take another step closer to getting their shots. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The Biden administration has said it's ready to go, and Dr. Anthony Fauci on ABC has heard here on Bloomberg said the shots are definitely coming.
It's entirely possible, if not very likely, that vaccines will be available for children from 5 to 11 within the first week or two of November.
And Dr. Fauci says giving the same booster to adults is preferred, but says mix and match is still a good option. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Ed. Let's turn back to markets now, where we're looking ahead to a busy week for earnings. Big tech is front and center as Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon all report. But today, it's all about Facebook. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Facebook will face new scrutiny following disappointing results from Snap last week. It highlighted headwinds related to global supply chain issues and a changed privacy policy at Apple, issues which are also expected to come into play at Facebook. Bloomberg Intelligence says Facebook's ad impressions growth may have slowed in the third quarter as people spent less time on apps as the economy reopened. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. Well, in Europe overnight, we got earnings from HSBC. Shares are up about 0.5% after the bank painted a bullish outlook thanks to likely interest rate hikes. HSBC Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson also says the bank will buy back $2 billion in shares.
Today's $2 billion buyback is an important step, I think, and it shows confidence that we have in the underlying performance of the business and outlook, and shows a commitment to try and normalize our capital base.
CFO Ewan Stevenson also tells us that HSBC expects no material fallout from the turmoil surrounding China's Evergrande Group.
Well, staying overseas, Karen, there is lots of turmoil in Turkey today. The Turkish lira is trading at a record low as President Erdogan escalates diplomatic tensions with Western nations. Over the weekend, Erdogan said ambassadors from 10 countries, including the U.S., were no longer welcome after they demanded the release of a prominent government critic. We get more from Bloomberg Middle East correspondent Simone Foxman.
This is something that Erdogan feels incredibly personal about, and so he was quite dissatisfied with that call to release Kavala, and then we saw this reaction. Now, it's important to note, however, that while he came out with this announcement calling for these people to be named persona non grata, which would essentially force them to leave the country, it actually has to be confirmed officially. As yet, we don't have that decision, but it's something we're watching for, particularly today around a cabinet meeting later.
Bloomberg Simone Foxman says the lira is down 23% against the dollar this year, making it the worst performing currency in emerging markets.
And back here in the U.S., Nathan, one piece of corporate news to tell you about. PayPal said it is currently not pursuing an acquisition of Pinterest. That ends days of speculation over a potential $45 billion deal. Pinterest shares are down 10% this morning. They jumped last week after Bloomberg News reported the two firms held talks. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:07 on Wall Street, 62 cloudy degrees in Central Park, already seeing 15-minute delays on the George Washington Bridge with an accident at the upper level. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It got tense in front of the Barclays Center yesterday.
No vaccine mandates! No vaccine mandates!
Demonstrators supported Nets guard Kyrie Irving and protested New York's vaccine mandate before Brooklyn's home opener. People were protesting in the plaza outside the arena. Some were chanting no vaccine mandates and let Kyrie play. They also held signs that said stand with Kyrie. A small group even broke through barriers and got all the way to the front entrance of the arena. Irving is not playing with the Nets because of his refusal to get vaccinated against COVID-19. A New York mandate requires pro athletes playing for a team in the city be vaccinated in order to play or practice in public venues. President Biden will visit New Jersey today. He will push his infrastructure plan. He will also be in Plainfield to visit East End Elementary School to highlight his Build Back Better agenda. President will be in Kearney to speak at the New Jersey Transit Meadowlands Maintenance Complex. The president's visit comes as New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is in an election race with his Republican opponent, Jack Chiatarelli. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie talked about the race on ABC's This Week.
New Jersey is now down to a single-digit race. Latest polls I've seen has it at 6 points. It was at...
Not as close as Virginia.
Not as close as Virginia, but trend, George, 2 weeks ago was at 15.
Chris Christie on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Residents in the Bay Area found themselves caught in more than 8 inches of rain as a storm system brought down power lines and road closures. Homes were damaged in its wake. San Anselmo Mayor Brian Colbert said last night that the dangers from the storm won't subside for them for several days.
I'm concerned about our hillsides and the amount of rain and mudslides. So it's going to be a sleepless night for our town staff, our first responders, and, you know, many, if not all of our residents in San Anselmo.
Mayor Colbert is also worried about flooding. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. It was one thing for the Jets to be unable to beat New England when the Patriots had a dynasty going. Now the Pats are rebuilding, and the Jets still can't beat them. A 12th straight loss to the Pats, who are 2-0 versus the Jets, 1-4 versus everyone else. They were 0-4 at home, crushed the Jets in Foxborough, 54-13, the most points the Jets have allowed since a 1978 loss, also to New England, the Jets' rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson.
How are you going to respond when adversity hits? You know, every good team that I've been on in my life, looking back till I was playing peewee football, you know, it always sucked before it got better. You know, no one ever really just walks into situations, and it's the greatest thing from the beginning, and I think guys understand that it's a process where you just got to keep getting better.
That process has been very long. Wilson left the game in the second quarter with a knee injury, awaiting MRI results. As for the decision to draft Wilson and trade Sam Darnold, Darnold made his return to MetLife with Carolina. He was brutal and got benched as the Giants got a rare, easy victory, 25-3. They held the Panthers to only 11 first downs, 173 yards of offense. Daniel Jones threw a touchdown pass to Dante Pettis, capping a drive where Pettis completed a pass to Jones, who made a one-handed grab. Knicks and Nets both lost at home. Stunning loss for the Knicks, the same Magic team that the Knicks crushed by 25 on Friday. Orlando rallied in the fourth quarter to win at the Garden, 110-104. Cole Anthony, whose father Greg once played for the Knicks, had 29 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists. And the Nets in their home opener, also rough fourth quarter, outscored by Charlotte 32-11. The Hornets won 111-95. The Islanders, a 2-0 win at Vegas. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are higher by almost 6 points. Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures higher by 35 points as we get ready for a week dominated by tech earnings. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are rising this morning. European shares steady as traders weigh inflation concerns, rising COVID-19 risks, and China's outlook at the start of a week packed with big tech earnings reports. Turkey's lira slumping to a record low amid a diplomatic row. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 14. NASDAQ futures up 35. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.65%. And today, we're watching for earnings from companies, including Facebook. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. White House proposals for new taxes on billionaires and certain corporations to help pay for President Joe Biden's big domestic policy bill is drawing the backing of Democratic Senator Joe Biden. Joe Manchin. Biden spent hours yesterday at his home in Delaware with Manchin and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Sudan's information ministry says military forces have arrested the country's acting prime minister and senior government officials, disrupted internet access, and blocked bridges in the capital, Khartoum. The ministry described today's actions as a coup. In the NFL, the Giants won. The Jets, if you got 42 points, you won, because they got a what for and why whipping from the Patriots, 54-13.
Oh, man.
Washington, the Ravens, the 49ers lost. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets lost. Celtics and Warriors won. NHL, the Islanders and Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Kind of same old for Jets fans, isn't it, Michael?
Oh, wow. My.
All right, 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It's kind of same old for markets, really. Let's bring in Dennis Gartman, University of Akron's Endowment Chairman, of course, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, with us for the hour this morning. Dennis, it's always good to speak with you. The reason I say it's kind of same old, because, you know, we're looking at stocks going up, bond yields going up, commodities going up. Looks like markets have been managing to look past inflation concerns. Can that last?
I'm not sure that it can last, and I think that Friday was a very interesting day in the bond market. I've been one arguing that bond prices had to go down, that yields had to go up for a while. And interestingly, we had a very strange technical circumstance in the long bond on Friday where we had an outside reversal day. We made a new low in price and took out the previous day's high and closed above the previous day's high in market after market after market after market that I've watched over the course of the past 45 years. Reversal days, whether at lows or at highs, are important technical circumstances. And everybody, and I mean everybody, is bearish of the bond market. And suddenly you had a reversal to the upside in the long bond. I think it's time to start being quietly bullish of the bond market, which is scary as far as the economy is concerned. It's disconcerting as far as the stock market may be concerned. But pay attention to the fact that you had an outside reversal day on Friday in the long bond. And there were, I sent a chart to y'all earlier this morning. There were five different times in the last 30 years or so where the percentage of people being bullish of the bond market had hit new lows, and we hit that low on in the middle of October. The last time we saw that happen was back in February of 18. The previous time was in September of 13. The previous time was in February of 11, and the previous time to that was in July of 07. And the average in the 10-year bond future from that point on was a rally of an astounding almost 18 full points. So I think it's time to start being quietly, slowly, laboriously bullish of the bond market, which is therefore detrimental to stock prices. So be careful. That outside reversal day on Friday, I think, is atypical, unusual, and worthy of paying attention to.
Well, let's get into a little bit more about what quietly, cautiously bullish on bonds means. Are you looking for a particular bond yield target at this point?
Well, I think the 10-year could get back. Right now we're trading a little over 1.61, 1.62, 1.63 yield on the 10-year. Can we go back to where we were a mere couple weeks ago at 1.35 or so? I think that's very possible. So I think that's a reasonable objective as far as the bond yield on the 10-year is concerned. Not a huge move, but in the bond future, that's going to be a powerful rebounding rally of some sort, enough to take people that were overtly bearish of bonds to the sidelines again. Let's just say that right now I look for a bounce in the bond market of some consequence. I think 5 years from now we'll see the 10-year back at 3 or 4%, no question. But in the next 3 months, can we see the 10-year back to 1.35 or so? I think that's very possible. In fact, I think it's quite logical.
With a call like this, Dennis, what are you implying about Fed policy? There seems to be a pretty strong sense from the market that there is going to be a taper starting either next month or the month after. The market has brought forward rate hikes into late next year. What's your view on that?
I'm not going to argue with that consensus. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think the Fed will begin the tapering process late this year, probably in December. I don't think they'll make the announcement in the November meeting, but I think they make the announcement in the December meeting. And I think clearly Powell has already been put on record to say that he expects the taper to be ended completely by the middle of next year. I think that's logical. I do think, however, that the propensity for the Fed to raise the overnight Fed funds rate from its zero target to something higher than that has probably been put off at least until very late in 22, maybe early in 23. So it has implications for the yield curve.
In our last 30 seconds of this particular segment, Dennis, what could that mean for the markets if we do see that sort of later move from the Federal Reserve?
The trend in stock prices has been, strangely enough, from the lower left to the upper right for a long period of time. And as my good friend Gary Schilling says, the markets can remain illogical far longer than you or I can remain solvent. I think stock prices are extremely extended, very much overbought, but they're probably close enough to new highs as far as the Dow is concerned, that the Dow and the S&P and maybe even the NASDAQ want to sneak out new highs before this bull market has ended completely.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation later this hour with Dennis Gartman, the former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron's Endowment and Investment Committee, as we get set for a very busy week for earnings, particularly on the tech side. And this morning, it is tech futures that are leading the gains, with NASDAQ futures higher by 32 points. Dow futures now little change to lower, down 7. NASDAQ futures are higher by almost 3 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at give2.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are steady ahead of a big week for tech earnings. We'll hear from Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon. Elsewhere, we're seeing Turkey's lira trading at record weakness. That's after President Erdogan said that ambassadors of 10 nations were no longer welcome in the country.
Well, here in the U.S., Karen, President Biden is racing to reach a deal on his economic agenda. Talks with fellow Democrats continue in hopes of reaching an agreement before the president leaves for Europe this week. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says an agreement is almost done.
With 90% of the bill agreed to and written, we just have some of the last decisions to be made. It is less than we had was projected to begin with, but it's still bigger than anything we have ever done in terms of addressing the needs of America's working families.
Speaker Pelosi made the comments on CNN's State of the Union.
Well, Nathan, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was also a guest on that program, and she weighed in on inflation concerns, saying she expects prices to remain high through the first half of next year.
I expect improvement by the middle to end of next year, second half of next year.
And Janet Yellen tells CNN the current inflation situation reflects, quote, temporary pain.
Well, rising prices usually mean rising wages, but even then, a new survey finds U.S. labor shortages will likely persist into next year. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A survey by the National Association for Business Economics shows 36% of private sector employers currently experiencing worker shortages say they expect them to end at some point next year. And when it comes to inflation, 30% think current price increases will be permanent. About 20% say cost increases are temporary, and the majority of those are either goods producers or in the transportation, utilities, and communications industries. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures are little changed to higher, up about 4 points. Dow futures down 4. NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. The yield 1.65%. The yield on the 2-year 0.45%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.7% or 55 cents at $84.32 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.90 at $1,800.30 an ounce. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 63 cloudy degrees in Central Park. And now 30-minute delays with a multi-vehicle crash on the upper level of the GWB. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. It got tense in front of the Barclays Center yesterday. Chants of Wake Up New York as demonstrators supported Nets guard Kyrie Irving and protested New York's vaccine mandate before Brooklyn's home opener. People were protesting in the plaza outside the arena. They held signs that said stand with Kyrie. A small group even broke through barriers and got all the way to the front entrance of the arena. Irving is not playing with the Nets because of his refusal to get vaccinated against COVID-19. A New York mandate requires pro athletes playing for a team in the city to be vaccinated in order to play or practice in public venues. President Biden will visit New Jersey today. Biden will push his infrastructure plan. He will be in Plainfield to visit East End Elementary School. The president will also be in Kearney to speak at the New Jersey Transit Meadowlands Maintenance Complex. The highlight is Build Back Better Agenda. The president's visit comes as New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is in an election race with his Republican opponent, Jack Ciccarelli. Last night, First Lady Jill Biden was in Detroit. She delivered the keynote speech at a dinner honoring General Motors CEO Mary Barra.
You've done so much to support our efforts to revolutionize the auto industry by investing in clean cars and trucks.
Dr. Biden also spoke about students returning to the classrooms in the COVID era. Severe storms have brought flooding in California and the West and increased risks of mudslides in areas scorched by recent wildfires. North of San Francisco, rescue crews evacuated residents in Santa Rosa as water levels threatened homes. This man and his family watched as their neighbors evacuated and waited to see if they needed to follow.
I have never seen the flooding like it's been today in over 8 years that we've lived here.
The National Weather Service is warning the storm system could bring historic rain. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stanshower.
Nathan, Giant victories have been rare. Easy wins even rare. The Giants trailed Carolina 3-0, then scored the next 25. A safety, three field goals by ex-Panther Graham Ganoa. Daniel Jones' touchdown pass to Dante Pettis, who earlier on the drive completed a pass back to Jones, who made the best catch by a Giants receiver all season. Giants then put the game away.
Jones in a shotgun set. Booker to his right. Handoff for Booker, who runs left. Makes a man miss to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants, Devontae Booker. 19-yard scamper, icing on the cake for the Giants' second win of the season.
Club Alpha, WFAN. Giant defense was outstanding. Sam Darnold, the ex-Jet, back at MetLife, struggled and got benched. Panthers, 4 straight loss after being 3-0. The Giants are 2-5. They play a week from tonight in Kansas City. The Chiefs are struggling at 3-4. They lost to Tennessee 27-3. Speaking of struggling, Jets lost at New England 54-13. Patriots had 551 yards of offense. They beat the Jets for the second time this season, 12th straight time overall. Jets QB Zach Wilson left with a knee injury, replaced by Mike White, who had never taken an NFL snap before, and he threw 2 interceptions. Knicks and Magic finished the home-and-home. The Knicks won by 25 Friday in Orlando. They had a 30-point halftime lead in that game, first time in franchise history, but the Magic stunned the Knicks at the Garden, 110-104. The Nets, in a surprise, lost their home opener to Charlotte, 111-95. Hornets outscored Brooklyn in the fourth quarter, 32-11. Islanders got 42 saves from Ilya Sorokin, a 2-0 win at Vegas. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ann Cates.
David Bowie pop-up shops are being set up in New York City and London as part of the celebration of what would have been the late rock star's 75th birthday. The Bowie 75 retail store opens today in Soho, featuring music, fashion, and art, plus immersive audio, video, and photography experiences. The Soho Bowie boutique will remain open until late January. Natural gas prices continue to decline after hitting a 13-year high recently. Strategists at Transparent Energy in Fairfield, New Jersey, credit the warm start to autumn, which is keeping natural gas supplies at solid levels, easing fears over potential shortages or the possibility of skyrocketing prices if harsh winter weather develops. Connecticut-based insurance giant The Hartford says remote employees will start heading back to the office in December. Senior managers at The Hartford return in person on December 6th with a substantially higher number, reporting back early next year. The Hartford has 6,100 staffers in Connecticut. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ann Cates.
Thanks, Ann. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the electric truck maker Rivian expects a record quarterly net loss because of costs linked to starting production of its debut truck in Illinois.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Kentucky has seen a large surge in people quitting their jobs.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting on Ohio-based Workhorse recalling some vehicles because of electrical and lighting problems.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about top business economists not looking for inflation to ease, at least until sometime next year.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Cryptocurrency has failed to sweep away government-issued money or to bring about the broader revolution that its most ardent enthusiasts envision. But what if the underlying technology could be harnessed to transform traditional fiat currencies, for example, by making them easier and cheaper for people around the world to use? This goal might be attainable, with help from the governments that crypto was meant to sideline. Consider stablecoins. As a unique form of electronic cash, they have the potential to improve money transfers. But they also pose risks that governments need to address. Smart regulation could ensure that crypto-enabled payment systems remain broadly accessible while still being more transparent than the current banking system. Surging technological innovation is already driving competition to upgrade the financial system. The results could benefit people everywhere, as long as regulators don't fall behind. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And terminal customers, you can read more at OPIN Go. This is Bloomberg. We're coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures, little change to higher this morning. European shares, they're steady as investors weigh inflation concerns, rising COVID-19 risks, and China's outlook at the start of a week packed with big tech earnings reports. Turkey's lira slumping to a record low amid a diplomatic row. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 4 points. Dow futures, little change. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.45%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 58 cents at $84.34 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.80 at $18.01.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1626 against the dollar. British pound 1.3750. And the yen at 113.64. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The White House said President Joe Biden made progress on his big tax and spending plan in a meeting with key moderate Senator Joe Manchin and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, though further talks among staffers will be needed. The rare Sunday meeting was held over breakfast at the president's home in Delaware. Sudan's army has put the prime minister under house arrest and arrested government ministers, according to people familiar with the matter. The U.S. has warned a military takeover would imperil its support. In the NFL, the Giants won. The Jets got a what-for-and-why whipping from the Patriots, 54-13. Washington, the Ravens, and the 49ers lost. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets lost. The Celtics and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders and Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we want to continue our conversation now with Dennis Gartman, the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment and Investment Committee, and, of course, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, for those who just joined us, in our last portion of the conversation, you said that you've turned cautiously, quietly bullish on bonds, despite many voices in the market to the contrary. Can you reiterate that call for us?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, nobody, I mean absolutely nobody. The numbers that you see, the people who are bullish of bonds is practically zero. I haven't seen this sort of one-sided listing of the boat in a market in a very long time, but no one is bullish of the bond market. So a contrarian has to say, I should look at being bullish of the bond market, just from a contrarian's perspective. And then on Friday, you had a very unusual technical circumstance prevailing in the long bond future. You made a new low, then you closed higher upon the day, took out the previous day's high, and closed higher. When in 45 years of being in the various commodity markets, when you see what is known as an outside reversal day, either from the upside or the downside, one has to pay attention. Doesn't mean that the bond market can't make a lower low. It's very possible. I have my doubts, however, given the extreme one-sided nature of the bearish perspective on the bond market. You had an outside reversal day to the upside. I think the risk reward is very good to be a buyer of bonds at this point, and not expecting to see new lows in the bond market, expecting to see at least a reasonably good, strong, solid bounce. I think you can take the 10-year yield from 1.63. I think you can go to about a 1.35 maybe in the course of the next month or two. It's just a one-sided trade. As I like to say, the boat is listing heavily to one side. Everybody is bearish, and when everybody has on one side of a trade, I think it's reasonable, rational, and wise to take the other side. So I've turned bullish for the first time in the bond market in a very long time. Let's call it just a good, solid bounce, not the end of the bear market in the bond market that began in about a year and a half ago. But I think for now, a good, solid bounce is to be expected. Just too many people on the one side of the bond market.
Are you looking at bonds as an inflation hedge? We're hearing from the likes of Treasury Secretary Yellen now and, of course, Fed Chairman Powell saying that inflation is lasting a little bit longer than they had been expecting.
Well, that's the reason why you've got so many people who are bearish of the bond market at this one point. You've had the Secretary of Treasury and the Chairman of the Fed have had the other side of the trade on, and they've been abundantly wrong. Inflation is not transitory. I think inflation is here for a very long period of time, and therefore I think the bounce that we get in the bond market will be of short-term duration, probably no more than 2 months at the most. But they've changed their opinion, and I think in the long run, from, as I said earlier, 5 years from now, the 10-year yield will be above 4%. But for the next month or two, having seen the 10-year yield go from a little under 1% to 1.65, can we get back to 1.35? I think we can do that without too much difficulty over the course of the next 2 or 3 months.
Well, if inflation does last longer than the policymakers have been suggesting, where are you looking for inflation hedges?
Well, I think the one place to take a look at, and always try to look for the illogical trade that no one has on, maybe the best trade for the next several weeks is to be long of gold and long of the bond market, two markets that should move in contravention one to the other. I think if for the next 2 months or so you can get them moving in convention one with the other. It would seem illogical to do that trade, but nobody wants to be bullish of bonds. I want to be bullish of bonds, and I think in the long run gold wants to go higher. So maybe for the next several weeks, maybe for the next 2 or 3 months, doing the illogical trade, long gold and long bonds, may be the trade to put on for a while.
Only about 30 seconds left here. Secretary Yellen says they don't think they've lost control of inflation. Do you agree?
No, I do not agree. I think that in the next 5 years, the inflation rate will be well above 5%, no question. You cannot see the expansion of the monetary aggregates as aggressive as they have been for the past 5 years or so give anything other than rising inflation over the course of the long term. So I think Ms. Yellen is absolutely wrong.
Taking the contrarian view, Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment and Investment Committee. Dennis, thanks again for being with us for the hour here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
California court refused to temporarily halt an ongoing sexual harassment case against Activision Blizzard. The video game company wanted time to investigate the agency that brought the case. A federal court in California vacated a Trump-era rule limiting state and tribal authority to determine whether certain federally approved projects could pollute waters.
The Animal Defense League says in a federal court filing that it has standing to challenge the government's approval of allegedly deceptive poultry labels that depict birds outdoors even though they are raised indoors.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're following brings us to the topic of de-radicalizing extremists. Parents for Peace is a nonprofit that specializes in de-radicalizing people drawn to extremist ideas, covering everything from jihad to QAnon. For more on the group's efforts, June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg legal reporter David Yaffe Bellany.
How would you describe their treatment method?
It's difficult to describe precisely, but it's somewhere at the intersection of addiction treatment, family counseling, therapy, the kind of cult deprogramming efforts of the 1970s. It's this sort of hybrid approach. A lot of it is about figuring out what the underlying problem is and trying to address that. You know, maybe this person's drawn to an extremist group because they're lonely. Let's find a way for them to make friends so that they get that kind of sense of camaraderie from somewhere other than a dangerous extremist group. Some of it is about coaching the family to respond to the loved one's extremism in a more productive way. So instead of freaking out every time they show a QAnon video on their phone, try to ask them open-ended questions about why they're drawn to that video. Try to understand them, show them love and attention, and try to combat this underlying issue that might make them vulnerable to conspiracy theories, that sort of thing. And then ultimately what this group will sometimes do is introduce someone who's in an extremist group to a former extremist, somebody who's been in the group and left. We'll kind of mentor them, befriend them, and try to coax them away.
The woman now in charge, Miriam Churchill, said, I thought this was really interesting, never argue with extremists. Don't react angrily. It's tough not to try to argue someone out of something.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, certainly the temptation when somebody starts voicing horrible white supremacist ideas or kind of anti-vaxxer sentiment is to fight back and argue and prove them wrong. But what Miriam has found in her time working with families is that ultimately that's counterproductive, that feeling like you're under assault will just make you want to dig in even further and make you less likely to leave that type of conspiracy behind. And, you know, that kind of makes sense on a sort of intuitive level. And so her advice is not to do that, again, to try to kind of understand the underlying problems that might make you susceptible to believing these things and then to try to combat those.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter David Yaffe Bellany speaking with June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures up 3.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 3 and NASDAQ futures are up 31. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.65%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.45%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.